Kane is in the building.
Now that I'm a college graduate and ready for the real world, Liberty Shirt Co. has me covered. They have the finest dress shirts made for every occasion. Job interviews, business trips, or even just a casual shirt to wear around. If you use promo code 3PEAT during the month of September, you will get 25% off the purchase. So what are you waiting for? Head over to www.libertyshirtco.com and use promo code 3PEAT at checkout. That's valid all September long.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the 3PEAT podcast. This is episode 5 of season 4. We're getting slowly approaching the middle of a great season, but we still got a lot more to come for you folks. But good episode tonight. And for tonight's episode, I'm your host, and I'm joined by
Stephen Benazzo
and Josh Ramos.
Got a lot of football content, as always, to talk about. We're going to do the stardom sit-ems as usual. We're going to give an overview of the previous week. We're even going to hit you guys with a new segment for football. But first, we got to spread a little news. And that is that our New York Yankees have picked up the pace again, sweeping rivals, the Boston Red Sox. One of the greatest series that we've probably seen with these Yankees all year. Tons of excitement, tons of great play from our big bats. And I want to start off with you, Josh. Last episode, we talked about the Yankees, and you harped on it a lot. It was not looking good. It was, you know, not a lot of optimism. And here we are talking about the sweep of the Sox and how great the Yankees have been looking in this run into October. So give your rundown. What have you liked? Is there improvements? Are there guys that haven't been stepping it up that should? What are your thoughts?
First, just want to point out the obvious, a historic series by Giancarlo Stanton. He really turned it up a notch in the weekend series against Boston in Fenway. He had 12 RBIs, I believe, 3 homers, a homer in each game. He went 7 of 12. Oh, that's what it was. He went 7 for 12, 10 RBIs. He was ridiculous this weekend. He really turned it up a notch. And it just seemed like all around the guys were just playing much better hitting-wise, fielding-wise. They looked like they did in August when they were on their crazy win streak. Judge has been the only consistent hitter, and Stanton. But we saw Gary Sanchez producing, Glaber, Gio Urshela, DJ LeMahieu, all these guys getting on base like we expected them to. But there was no consistency, really, up until this point. So to see the way they closed out those 3 games in Boston was very good. And we got some very good pitching also, except that one game where I forgot who pitched, but it took until the 8th inning for Stan's grand slam to win the game. But other than that, it was, I would say, a dominant weekend series in Fenway where Boston really had no control.
Absolutely, and it was a true treat for New York sports fans to have the Yankees win like that on the road. Rivalry, it's huge. But there's a question that I come back to with this Yankee success, and that's going to be for you, Mr. Benazzo. How much credit do we give Aaron Boone?
You're making me laugh, Castle. You got to give him some credit. You got to give him some credit for keeping the guys locked in and keeping them motivated. But at the end of the day, it's all the players. It's Giancarlo Stanton for coming up so clutch, hitting a home run like Fromm said in each game in clutch home runs. It's Aaron Judge coming up clutch when he needs to. Even like Gleyber Torres coming up clutch here and there. The pitching coming up clutch. So I guess you can't say that Boone doesn't deserve any of the credit, But at the same time, it's really the players. I mean, we know they're good players. It's not like it wasn't like, oh, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge are these like under the radar guys who could be good. Like, they're all stars. Stanton is making $300 million. Judge is going to be in line to be paid just as much, probably. So these are some of the top stars in this league. It just took them a while to start clicking together. Everyone, not just those two, obviously, because if you look at their season stats, they really have been playing, have had a great season. So I think, to be honest, it really just comes down to the players. And another note I have is, what a timing for the sweep. In the beginning of the season, when Boston won the first, like, two series against us, and they're like, ah, Yankees suck. Ah, the Yankees haven't beaten Boston yet. I will take those series losses in the beginning of the season. Yes, it hurts. Doesn't matter the timing. It always hurts, especially to a team like Boston, our biggest rival. But look at how big this past series was. We jumped from the second wild card to now the first, having a game advantage on Boston. So if we can just keep up with this next two series with Tampa Bay and, well, Toronto right now, and then home to Tampa Bay, and it's not going to be easy, but if we can take a majority of those games and Boston doesn't do as well, we're in a pretty prime spot. So I don't think Ann Boone should get too much credit. It's really the players, and hopefully they keep it up. So a week from now when we're talking, and hopefully they have that top wild card spot clinched in the wild card games at Yankee Stadium, we can go back to this and say these players deserve all the credit, not Ann Boone at all, because it comes down to them to play the game.
I totally agree. It really comes down to the guys, and we're paying them all this money, and it's a great time to see them step up. Makes it worth, you know, all the struggle that we went through this season. But I had to bring up the Boone point because we've talked about him so much, and this run, it almost makes you wonder, does management look at it and say, can Boone deliver when it counts? But I think it goes back to your point that it's more the players, Stevie.
And you know what? I got two things. One, if Boone brings us to the playoffs, obviously that's what he's supposed to do. This team is a playoff team. Really, he's going to be assessed how far can he lead this team. Because 2018, it was the ALDS, but Boston was so good that year. 2019, we made it to the ALCS. Lost to Houston, obviously. We know how. And then last year, losing the ALDS again. So the minimum that this team really should be, I mean, granted how this season's gone, you don't think ALCS, but really on paper, this is a World Series team. So anything below that is, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a downgrade, but like, it's not, you're not reaching expectations. So it is a lost cause. So, you know, really this team, I think for Cashman's really going to assess, he should assess how far Boone can lead this team. Another thing, we got to give some credit to Frank Sinatra, Jay-Z, right, for making all these New York hits that I get to sing after sweeping Boston. You know, really any New York sports team victory over Boston just causes a time to play Frank Sinatra's song or Jay-Z's song with Alicia Keys. Is it Alicia Keys?
Yes, sir.
It is. So just know that's what I was listening to once we swept Boston. It's good to play.
I love it. Love that a Connecticut guy has such passion and energy for a New York sports team. It's great. You could easily be rooting for the Sox, but you picked the right team.
Well, yeah, I do have my Connecticut Sun. That's the only professional team I got. So
hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, but you're rooting for the right baseball teams, and that's all that counts. So, but hey, I agree with everything, and you know, Boone, I think it'll be evaluated, and But you also got to evaluate this pitching. I mean, yes, the hitting has been great, but the pitching has been very concerning. And that brings up my next question for you, Josh. What is the future for Chapman? I mean, yes, we're still winning games, and, you know, he didn't blow any of the times he pitched for Boston, but he still gave up a home run. You know, he was a big name at one point when he was with the Reds, but I don't think he's that guy anymore. So I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on him, how he'll be used during the playoff run, and do you even see him lasting with the Yankees much longer? Now, I don't know his contract situation, so you'll have to excuse me if he's headed towards the end of it, but I'm just curious to see what you think about it.
Yeah, so he's under contract for the next 2 years with us, which is not ideal at all. So he's going to be on the roster in the playoffs and next year. Yankees might look to move to trade him to another team who might be interested. I would not be opposed, because this year has been a lot of ups and downs for Chapman, which is very fitting for the way the Yankees season has gone. But for their star closer, I can't even use the word star around him anymore, but that's what people refer to him as. For him to have above a 4.3 ERA is ridiculous. That's way too high. He's giving up too many runs. He's been looking much better recently, which is good. But when it comes down to it, closing those big moments, he hasn't produced since the 2016 World Series when he was on the Cubs. We saw in 2019 with the Astros giving up that homer to Altuve. He can't close in the big moments. So I worry what the deal is with him in this postseason. But I'm hopeful that we just got Luis Severino back, which is very good. And I assume Loaisiga might be healthy for the playoff stretch. He's been very crucial this season. So it won't be as much pressure on Chapman necessarily in those big moments, and it might be a committee to close out the games. So it's different faces that they're seeing in the ninth inning necessarily. But if it's just Chapman, I really don't feel too confident, as I should.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's the Cuban Missile Crisis Part 2, but it's the New York Yankees edition, where they can't seem to contain the situation. And I think Loaisiga would be great. I think he's a young talent, and if he's healthy, I'd love to have him stick around as a closer in the future. And Severino back. Severino's one of my favorite pitchers, and this injury really killed. So to have him back during this time is great. But
I got a little Sean there for you guys. Do you think the Yankees in the postseason, as we know, Chapman's postseason track record is not the greatest at all. Do you move Chapman to like the setup man, or the like even seventh inning, and move a guy like Loaisiga to closer? Or do you just kind of think, you know, Chapman's a closer and you kind of want Loaisiga holding down those possible mid to late innings, you know, pitch two and keep the game? And pretty much Loaisiga has been locked down all year. He's been phenomenal. So do the Yankees just keep him in that role and try to keep the game either tied or close, whether they have a one or two run lead or they're down a couple of runs? Or do we think that Boone might try to switch it up a little bit and see if maybe that will work better? Also, if Tyone, who actually left tonight's game with that nagging ankle injury, does Seve move into the starting rotation? You know, these are questions that obviously as fans were kind of intrigued by, but the Yankees, like, coaching, management, Aaron Boone has to figure out. And I'm assuming that to start off, Chapman is going to stay closer. I think they want to keep Severino in the bullpen. That's just my opinion. I don't know if you guys have anything, any other remarks to say about it, or if you think differently. I don't know.
Severino, I think, is going to stay in the bullpen because he is recovering from Tommy John surgery as well as other injuries that he suffered this year, because he also had a setback with his surgery for Tommy John. So it's way too early for him to just be going and throw him in the postseason where he hasn't thrown more than two innings yet. So that's just a recipe for a disaster, basically. I think come next year, once he's had time to heal and actually properly train himself to be a starter again, then come opening day, we'll see him as a full-time starter again. But now, no way. And I like seeing Severino as kind of like that long reliever. He gets Andrew Heaney out of the equation. As for who might take Tyone's spot if it's a long-term thing, there's still Luis Gil. There's Abreu. There's other options. Yes, they're young arms, but they saw solid starts this year that I'm not too worried about, because at the end of the day, when you think of a postseason starter, aside from Gerrit Cole, you ideally want them to go four or five innings and then let the bullpen do the rest. You have Severino who could go two innings. They'll probably try to stretch it to three innings. Chad Green, two innings. They'll probably try to stretch him to three innings. Loaisiga, they might try to stretch him to pitch two innings. So I think then it'll go back to your other question about what Chapman's role will be. I don't think Loaisiga or the other arms might be the solution for the ninth inning, because they really didn't get that much usage during the regular season. That was Chapman's role. So I don't think a drastic change will come now. But I think in big moment situations where Chapman gives up a runner off first and second, no out, I think Aaron Boone might be more capable and willing to make a change in that situation, as opposed to letting Loaisiga start off the ninth to close.
The only thing with that is you have to be careful, is you can't allow too many results like that to happen where it's, say if Chapman blows it, and then before you know it, you're down in the series. I mean, first of all, the wild card game is only one game. So you better hope that, you know, I'm obviously, as a Yankees fan, we hope that we're not in a safe situation where we're winning like 11-0. But realistically, it's probably not going to happen. So hopefully, if they're in a safe situation, you better hope whoever it is, most likely Chapman, that he'll be able to lock it down. But then even in these other series, like, once you go down those first couple games, I mean, that's tough to bounce back. And last year, the playoffs were held at neutral sites, so all the teams were playing in the same stadiums, whether the American Leagues were all playing at Petco Park, and then the National League was where I think it was in the Texas Rangers huge stadium. There's no fans until like the World Series. So there wasn't any of these home field advantages, but that's going to be a thing now in the playoffs, this playoffs this year. So I just don't want Boone to make this change, but it's already almost too late where we're down a couple games in the series. And then pretty much you're going to be playing some tough teams in the AL. I mean, the Rays, he can't fall behind the Rays. Even Houston. Houston's a good playoff team. They have experience now in the playoffs. This is kind of – they're a playoff team now for many but in the past couple years. Promise you got something?
I think when you look at this year's AL, it's so evenly matched. And – as a Yankee fan, we obviously want to think that our Yanks are going to go all the way. But for a non-biased fan, it really could go either way with who they feel is going to win the AL because of how evenly spread these teams are. Yes, the Rays hold a 8-game lead over us and the next closest opponent. But other teams have fared well against them in the regular season. The White Sox have done well. So the teams in the playoffs are the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Rays, the Blue Jays, the White Sox. There's a lot of talent in the AL. So any team we're going to face, you don't want to fall behind in, because there's talent everywhere on both sides in the field and batting. Pitching is loaded on all these teams. So I agree 100%. You can't get in those moments, but there's also the three batter rule. So once, let's say, Chapman comes in to start, he has to face a minimum of three batters. So I don't, unfortunately, think that Boone will make a change before the playoffs, because he really hasn't had a reason yet to kick Chapman out of the closing role. But if, let's say, he struggles in one game, then maybe the following game he'll look as a setup man, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess the big question is, when do you pull the plug if you're Aaron Boone? And who knows, maybe he won't even think about this, and we're just kind of looking at all the different aspects of the team and what would be the right positions and order for things in the playoffs, because this is ridiculous. 12 years without a World Series title or even a World Series appearance. I mean, that is just, from the New York Yankees standards, that is pathetic. If George Steinbrenner was alive today, rest in peace to his soul, he would not approve of this. I feel like, if he was still alive, the Yankees would have at least maybe one World Series appearance or championship, maybe two World Series. I mean, he would, this would not be happening right now. So the fact that this is 12 years, actually now it is 12 years because 2009. So gotta make sure I do my math right. It's too long. I mean, obviously, as a fan, you want your team to win every championship, but especially the Yankees. I mean, they're 27-time world champs. And you could say, oh, half of them were in the 1940s and 50s and all that other bull. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether they won then, now, yesterday, tomorrow. Like, still, they have this championship pedigree, and in the past decade, they do not. So they're the New York Yankees. They need to reclaim that identity, the championship identity, the championship pedigree. And if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm hoping he's really exhausting all options, looking at everything. If guys have to play at different spots that he thinks will fit better for the team to help us win, to get us over that hump that we haven't been able to get over the past couple of years, then he's got to. That's why you're manager. Especially that's why you're the manager of the New York Yankees. And I'm hoping he looks at everything, because it's getting to a point where, fellas, I think you guys can agree with me that we can't keep going much longer. Just not with this roster, not making it to the final goal, which is a World Series. Especially, and I could see, not to keep going on, but once your core four, once they left, yes, there was going to be a little rebuilding. I didn't expect to win right after the core four was over with. That was huge. They brought us, what was it, 6 World Series, whatever it was, 5. I mean, that's absurd to replace all those guys. Yeah, it's going to take a little while. But now we have this new core, and these guys have shown that they can win in this league and do well in this league. And, you know, every year it seems like we keep saying they just need this, and then they do get it. You know, we got Gerrit Cole, or this year we came the season not a lot of lefty bats. We got Rizzo, we got Gallo. So what else is there? We just need to put it together and finally win this thing. So that's all I got to say. Castle.
I do want to give him a little credit, though. I don't like giving Boone a lot of credit, but I do want to give him credit for switching Glaber and Gio Urshela and DJ LeMahieu, even though I think it was a little too late. Better now than in the playoffs, realizing, or after the playoffs, moving Glaber out of short to second, moving Gio from third to short, and DJ from second to third was a great move. And so far, All of those players seem very comfortable, and we're seeing a lot less errors than we did before. So I do want to give Boone that credit, but it still was a little too late because it was very obvious during the season that Glaber is not comfortable at short.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. A move like that, whether he just made it before the Red Sox series, like a move like that, look what it did. It helped lead us to a series sweep over the Red Sox, who we had trouble with for majority of the year, or at least the beginning to middle part of the year. So that's what, if he doesn't have to like switch around the whole team, but if he could just really look at things like that and decides to actually make the change or doesn't, and thinks however it is better than changing, that's fine. But I want him to look at different angles like that, and just so, like I said, we can get over that hump and finally bring a title home and go to the parade and drink some beers. And, you know, I don't like beer, so maybe I'll drink some seltzers. But, you know, enjoy and celebrate on whatever street they're going to be having the little, what are those things, like, not deck boats because that's like Boston, but little like.
Like a double-decker bus. Like yeah, something yeah, like exactly, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, we haven't seen that in a while.
No, it's what'll separate from a manager stick around, the Yankees build around, versus a guy who's not going to have a job at the end of the season. Pieces are there. Now it's time for him to execute. And hopefully these next two series, if the Jays and the Rays, hopefully we see that. And hopefully we see that carry into the playoffs. So continue to discuss baseball next week. We'll continue to talk the Yankees. But I'm excited to get into October and get into some baseball, home advantage. All of that's going to be great. Now we got to switch gears to the gridiron. Just concluded week three. It was a big week. Some big lines. Justin Tucker getting that game-winning field goal, 66 yards. That's insane. The Vikings winning without Dalvin Cook. The Cowboys crapping on the Eagles. Bengals upsetting the Steelers. A lot happened. It was a very big week three. But there's also some big upsets, and there's definitely a lot to evaluate with some of these teams. So I want to go around the horn now and ask you to what teams, you know, obviously besides the obvious teams that are 0-3, what teams are, you know, in DEFCON 5? You know, what teams are code red? You know, who's got to really start to worry? And I know we talked about this a little earlier, Josh, and I know you got a good team, so we'll start with you. Throw out a team that you think needs to start to worry heading into week four.
So I have two, and one is obvious and the other isn't. One team I think is fully in danger mode, which I talked about last week, and another name I'm going to throw out isn't so worrisome, but there are points that I'm going to make that are definitely very worrisome that have me thinking that they might be in danger. So the first is the Steelers. I said last week, if they lose to the Bengals, which I really was optimistic in the Bengals that they could beat them, they proved that they could. Big Ben played and the same results happened that I thought was going to happen. Big Ben did not look good. Najee Harris looked very, very well. But no Deontay Johnson was big. But other than that, Joe Burrow looked very sharp. The Bengals just look like a much better team. And the Steelers have owned the Bengals ever since Big Ben has been a Pittsburgh Steeler. So I think now the Steelers are 1-2, I believe. It's kind of a danger zone for them, because the Browns look dominant right now. Myles Garrett, 4.5 sacks against Justin Fields, Steve. Odell coming back. Jarvis Landry's on the IR, but Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt both producing. The Browns are balling on every side of the field. They look like the real deals in that division. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You mentioned Justin Tucker's 66-yard game winner. Ridiculous, but Lamar's playing very well. Marquise Brown didn't have a great week, but before that, has been looking like a true number one receiver, which we mentioned last week. So I really like what I'm seeing out of the Ravens. You throw in now the Bengals with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, what they have going. Like, they actually look sharp, and they look like they have true receivers and true offense. Then where does that put the Steelers? Because that's – the Steelers are in code red mode right now. And if I'm a Steeler fan, I am panicking, and I am not looking forward to the rest of the season because I think it's going to just get uglier. And the other team I want to throw out is very shocking to see because we're used to dominance from them, but it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And they are now 1-2, and they own the worst record in the AFC West, which, okay, it's through three games. That's not much. That's the first time since 2015 that they have a losing record. Shout out TJ Hummel for being our statistician tonight, throwing out that info for us. But
I got your back. Don't worry.
Amazing. But yes, Pat Mahomes is looking good, but this is also the first time he threw against the Ravens. He threw his first interception in his career in the month of September. Ever since then, he's thrown three more interceptions. We assume the Chiefs' offense is going to be explosive every single week. We assume Tyreek Hill and or Travis Kelce are going to go off and do something special. And yes, they are still doing that, but there's a missing piece in that. And they do not have a run game at all. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has two fumbles already, both lost in crucial moments. We saw the first being against the Ravens, which ultimately lost them the game. But if they have no run game, teams know they're going to air it out to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And Tyreek Hill, yes, he could get behind any defense he wants, but that could only do so much. Teams are adapting to their air raid attack. The way to counter the defense is to establish a run game, and the Chiefs haven't done that. You would think that the Chiefs would need to switch up in running backs or something. Last year they were able to with Le'Veon Bell, but Le'Veon Bell isn't there anymore. So if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm getting on the uncomfortable side with the way things are going, because they're 1-2, but that could easily have been 0-3 right now because of the way the Browns game ended week one, where they were trailing the whole game and led to come from behind win. But if Baker didn't throw that interception late, they very easily would be 0-3 right now. So if I'm a Chiefs fan, and I've spoken to a few recently, yes, you're still optimistic you're going to make the playoffs in a deep playoff run, but I would start to be getting uncomfortable with the way things are looking, because the Ravens are lurking, the Bills are lurking, and a bunch of other teams are lurking and ready to take down the Chiefs. And the Chargers just took down the Chiefs, and I didn't even mention them. Justin Herbert looks like the real deal. So there's a lot of teams in the AFC who look like they could beat the Chiefs. So that's the end of my little thing. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I would be a little uncomfortable. If I'm a Steelers fan, I think it's code red mode.
The Chiefs, you know, not a team I'd expect to hear, Josh, but I agree. Something's got to change. And, you know, I'm saying this now. Don't be surprised if come time where this run game is not what they need it to be, they go after Todd Gurley. Why not? He's a dual threat running back, takes some pressure off Mahomes. I don't think it's a bad thing. And you know what? Another name I'm going to throw out there that I think is contributing a little bit to this unsuccessful start is Sammy Watkins. We see what he's done with Baltimore, taking off some pressure. You know, he's a big guy you could throw in the slot, you could throw in the outside. I think Mahomes got comfortable with him and utilized him. And now without him, you have, you know, your two best guys that you're throwing it to vulnerable, of course, because defenses are going to be planning around them. And there's Hardman, who's not bad, but he can't do it all. So very interesting. And Pittsburgh, very disappointing to see. There's talent there, but I think it's time for Big Ben. It's his time. At the end of the season, he should retire. And if he doesn't, then I think you got to start either figuring out what you want to do with Haskins or figure out if you want to draft another guy. I don't know. But those are good. Now, Steve, before we get to you, I do have a question for you. And the question is, why are the Bears playing quarterback carousel instead of actually focusing on these real games? You know, it was released recently that going into week four, any of these quarterbacks could start. And if I'm a Bears fan, I want to know, why is there even a debate? Now, I know Fields had a crappy game, but you did draft him high. And now Nick Foles is in the mix after you guys just brought Andy Dalton to the team.
I just want to jump in before Steve goes, because I know the answer. They know it drives Steve crazy, so they're doing it on purpose to mess with him.
Well, of course, there's that. We know that, you know, Steve has a restraining order from Soldier Field, and, you know, he's like the Barstool president. He's got to wear a wig whenever he wants to go to a home game. But, Steve, why going into week four does this organization still have a tough time figuring out not only who their starter is going to be, but why are they deciding through the three quarterbacks that they have?
Because we're the Chicago Bears. We're a joke. The whole franchise is a joke. Matt Nagy's a joke. Ryan Pace is a joke. Because this team is not run well. The ownership has to give this team up. They have to pull a Bulls. They have to get rid of the old regime that is just digging its grave. And not just 6 feet. It's digging deeper. It's digging deeper than Lake, whatever is in Chicago. I don't even know. But
isn't that Lake Michigan?
I think it is Lake Michigan, yeah. So, thank you, Promise. Good geography, huh? Big geography guy, huh? A little bit. But back to my point, because I'm not going to go on a rant. I promise I'm not going to go on a rant, but Matt Nagy's just a joke. He's saying Foles because what? Fields banged up his hand. Didn't really bang it up. Clearly, he like did not bother him. He got an MRI, came back negative, so clearly it's fine. Dalton's injury, we know he has a bone bruise. So what are you throwing Foles in there? You saw what you had from Foles last year. Nothing. So why is he an option? It really should just be Foles, Dalton and Fields. But it's Nagy. He can't just do anything normally. Everything he does now just does not make sense. It has to be the most difficult process. His game plan is difficult. I don't know if he purposely rigged it so that Fields looked awful, so he could be like, listen, I told you Fields wasn't ready, blah, 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 to make sure he looks right. And his thing is he's got an ego. And you know what? A lot of people kept saying that. I was like, yeah, but, you know, I think he's a good leader. I like what he's doing in the locker room. No, F him. He sucks. He's got to get out of here. He's losing the locker room. I don't think anyone wants to play for him anymore, especially offensively. And if I'm the Bears, enough with the, well, they wait till the end of the, like, just like the Yankees or the Giants, and you know, they want to do everything professionally with class. Well, you know what? You're doing that, but what is it getting you? Nothing. Nothing. None. Zero. Goose egg. Whatever. What other terms for zero? Nothing. It's getting them nowhere by playing this professional, Mr. Classy organization. What they should have done after that game was, like, that was pathetic. 48 yards of total offense. The Browns are a good team, but they're not superior. Like, they're not, like, the best team to ever step foot on the face of this earth. And the fact that that's what you saw, your rookie quarterback, your prized possession, Justin Fields, who so many people think is the saving grace of Bears football, going to be the best quarterback in Bears history because we have never had a good quarterback in Bears history. Maybe Sid Luckman in like 1940 before they even throw the ball. This has turned into a rant. Sorry, guys, but they need to just fire Nagy. He has not done well. It's not like, oh, because he brought you to the playoffs. The defense brought them to the playoffs. The offense has been so bad, so bad. And the fact that you can't even gain 100 yards of offense in four quarters, that's 25 yards a quarter. You can't manage to do that in 15-minute quarters. What is wrong with you? And he doesn't try to change. And just get rid of him. Promote either Bill Lazor or one of the we have Mike Patton, who's a Packers former defensive coordinator. Promote them to interim head coach. You know, let whoever on the offensive side call the plays. I love what Desai's doing with this defense without Eddie Goldman, without Kyle Fuller. He's got so many young guys in there. So what he's been doing with it, I mean, Robert Quinn has more sacks already in the first three games than he had all of last season. So I like what he's doing. Why can't we do that offensively? Yes, we may not have the best offensive talent, but we got Allen Robinson, who I think is a top 10, top 15 receiver. He would have been, if he hit the free agent market, he would have been a prize possession there. David Montgomery, I think, is one of the top young backs in this league. You have two pretty, I mean, Jimmy Graham, yes, he's old, but he's done well in this league. He's a pretty still solid red zone threat. Cole Kmet's a young, promising tight end. The line isn't the best, but I don't think it's a worse. I'll take some of the, I mean, no offense, Castle, but the Giants line, especially now with all these injuries, I'll take some of our guys over your guys. So,
Non-take, man. You don't got to say that twice.
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, like, Effetti's not good. Jason Peters is, like, 40 years old. But I like James Daniels. I like Cody Whitehair. See, Mustafer, he's got to play better. But, like, it's not like we have the worst guys out there. And, yeah, it's just an abysmal showing. And it's none of this is going to change until Matt Nagy's gone. And if they really wait until the end of the season, because that's how the Chicago Bears run, and that's how the McCaskies and the our president, I forgot his name, Ted something. Hold on, let me look it up, because I'm not gonna let him get by. I'm gonna let him get it too. So just give me Ted Phillips. Yeah, that's right. Ted Phillips.
He was putting everyone on blast tonight.
Yeah, Ted Phillips. You're not getting off easy, guy. So, you know, I feel bad for Mitch too. I liked Mitch. I didn't think he was that good. Even without Nagy, I still think he wasn't deserving of the number two pick. But I think he would have done a lot better if he didn't play for Nagy. Because Nagy just takes everyone and ruins them. Ruins them. Ruins them. And he's ruining my mental mind, my mental state. He's ruining my love for the Chicago Bears, which I'm surprised I even have any ounce of love left for them.
Okay. It's okay, Steve, because it doesn't get much better when you watch Wisconsin football anyway.
Yeah, and you know what? Screw those guys too, because Graham Mertz is supposed to be the saving quarterback. Why can't my teams just have good quarterbacks and good offenses? Why is this a cycle of just – the weekends just cause me the worst, like, stress of my life. I don't even know why I pay attention. I should have just
– Steve's the only person in the world who looks forward to Mondays.
Yeah, for real. You know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And that's it. I was going to say, yeah, I should have just liked Alabama. Knew I would get a national championship every other year. And then I either should have liked the Patriots, because obviously when I was getting into football, Brady in New England, that was the dynasty. So I should have been a Patriots fan and an Alabama fan. And I'd be much happier. I wouldn't be coming on here yelling. So, Castle, I hope I answered your question. It's because of the Chicago Bears, their poor management, and most of all, Matt Nagy is their freaking head coach. Thank you.
No, you answered my question and more. And it's safe to say we know which team you think is going into Code Red. So I'm going to light a candle, say a prayer for the Bears tonight. Let's hope something happens. But I got to give my one team for Code Red. And I don't know, you guys could think this is off, but I'm giving it to the Seahawks. They're 1-2 going into week four. Last week, Captain Kirk almost put up 330 yards against their defense, led by the president, Jamal Adams, who we know he's overrated.
Without Dalvin Cook also.
Without Dalvin Cook, thank you. So, I don't know. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. The offense is doing what it needs to do. Tyler Lockett is having an incredible season. Metcalf is putting up.
If I saw correctly, I believe Lockett got hurt. Is that correct?
Don't know if he.
Steve, could you double check?
Did he get hurt?
Yeah, I'll double check. I'm just cooling down from my.
I can look quickly, but while I'm continuously talking about this, the problem with Seattle is that they're not the well-rounded.
He did get hurt. It was
he did get hurt. Okay. So that had a factor, but Seattle is not what it used to be. The Legion of Boom is not existing anymore. That defense.
Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom.
Doom. Legion of Doom now.
Oh, Doom? Legion of Doom. Oh.
You like okay. that?
I do like that.
Just thought of it right here.
Legion of Boom is now Legion of Doom. I love that. But it's not what it used to be. And I think, as we've seen, okay, Lockett did return later to the game. Okay, well, that – so even having Lockett come back, the overview is Seattle is not the team that it used to be. And in today's league, as we've all seen with some of these teams, you have to be well-balanced. I think a great example that of a team that we've brought up is Cleveland. You know – their defensive line has just become disgusting with Myles Garrett and Clowney, and their secondary is decent, and they can do what they need to do on offense. And Seattle just doesn't have that balance, and I think it's going to be tough for them. Pete Carroll, you know, Pete Carroll's always been one of those guys who's been seen as one of the more creative minds in football, but maybe the gas tank is starting to empty with him. You know, his – The prime Seattle teams that he's worked with is not what it used to be. And Russell Wilson can only do so much. So maybe this is a year Seattle reevaluates their defense. I'm not really too sure. But they're a team that I think needs to be concerned that if they allow guys like Cousins to have almost 330 yards in the air, who's not even – top, maybe he's top 10, but definitely not top 5. Probably more top 15, top 20. That's probably more reasonable. Top 10, probably not. But they need to definitely reevaluate their situation.
I would say, considering Pete Carroll is partially to blame, because I mean, going back, he is still the head coach. Who knows? Maybe age is catching up with him also, because he is the oldest head coach in the NFL. He's well in his 70s. So it wouldn't be the worst thing if both sides look to part ways in the offseason if Seattle can't get this rolling around soon. Because I'm actually really glad you mentioned the Seahawks also, Castle, because they were someone I was looking at earlier when you wanted to talk about this. Because they've played in some winnable games and just haven't been able to get it done on either end. There's only so much Russell Wilson is able to do. But look at the Chiefs also. I'm going to use them as the example because there's only so much Pat Mahomes could do without his defense really capitalizing or something. So if their defense is just going to let anybody who has a quarterback walk all over them, then there's no shot the Seahawks even think about making the playoffs.
Yeah. And you know what? Didn't even think of that aspect of maybe it's Carroll's end in Seattle. Maybe you're right. But I do know that if at the end of the season Carroll is gone, that it is not his last team. Because as we know, teams out there, when they look for coaches – it's partially an image thing. and you look at Pete Carroll's history and his years at USC and what he's done with Seattle, someone's going to want to eat that up. But hey, the beauty of the season is it was extended. We got some extra football. So maybe Seattle can turn it around. I don't know. But the once Super Bowl champs are now looking like the chumps. So we got to see. We have to see. But before we wrap up the show, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Start and set them. Who's hitting the field and who's riding the bench this week? Last week was a very off week for me. Osborne didn't do anything. Daniel Jones, I'm just going to not even acknowledge him. Tanyan was a good call. He only had 1.9 points, so I was happy with that. And who was my last guy that I told you guys to sit? It was Pittman Jr., who I actually don't know how Pittman Jr. did. We're going to take a look quickly. But, yeah, Tanyan, unfortunately, he's a guy that I have on my team, and he's not really the quarterback or the tight end that I thought he was going to be, because Rodgers is also not the quarterback that I thought he was going to be this season. And Michael Pittman Jr., okay, he had 13.3 points last week, so not bad. Off week for me, but hopefully this week I can step it up. So here's who I'm telling you to start this week. First guy that I'm telling you to start is a guy who was very, very good last year, was the number one, but now he's competing with some younger guys. But I think he's going to have a better week this week, and that's Tyler Boyd. I've always been a fan of Tyler Boyd. He hasn't been putting up the numbers that he could, but I believe he did have a touchdown last game. This week they're going up against Jacksonville, one of the worst teams in the league. Higgins is questionable, so he might not play. So, and you know that they're going to be putting pressure on Jamar Chase. So, could be Boyd's day to go off. Could be his day to go off. So, start him if you have him. He's a solid number two, solid flex. And the other guy that I'm saying, I'm sorry, Stevie, because I'm not trying to fuel the fire here, but start Swift against the Bears. DeAndre Swift has impressed me a lot. I think the Lions really got a very solid running back. He's elusive. He can catch. He can run. He just gives those defensive lines a hard time. Now, listen, maybe Khalil Mack can step it up, but I don't know. I say start Swift this week. I mean, most leagues, I believe, start him, but
at this point, Steve's going to agree with you.
Probably, but hey, I have to be respectful anyways. But
yeah, I appreciate that. That fire, you're not out of fuel. That thing is just cooking by itself.
It's the electric fire. It doesn't go off until someone turns it off. It just keeps
burning. And no one's turning it off. You think they like to save energy, but no. Just keep it burning, right?
Keep it burning. So start Swift. He's a great number one, great number two, great flex. Doesn't matter. Play him this week, expecting another big week. And that's what I'm saying to start. Steve, maybe there's an upside to your stardom sit-ems. Maybe you had more success last week. Maybe you got some good names this week. Who are you saying to hit the field and to start this week?
All right, so for me, Castle, OBJ versus the Vikings. He came back last week against my Bears. I don't even know if I should say my Bears. He came against the Bears, and he looked bad. I think he had, like, 5 catches or so for like 70-something yards. No touchdowns, but not bad at all. So that's what you like to see in a first game back from a 20 ACL, especially a very explosive player like him. He had 13.7, 5 catches, 77 yards. Not bad for your first game. He's going against a Viking secondary that kind of got – yes, they had that big win last week, but they've kind of got a lot of yards, passing yards. I don't know why I couldn't get that out, but teams are able to pass on them. So I think the Browns are going to start hitting some good chemistry, and I think Baker's glad to have Odell back, especially with Jarvis out. So I would say look for Odell to do something against the Vikings and really start getting his name back into the game, because obviously he missed being out there, the Browns missed him, and the fans missed him. I mean, he was obviously Castle and TJ, you know, when he was with the Giants, he was one of the top, if not the top receiver, one of the most exciting players to watch. So that's what everyone wants to see again, whether you hate him or not.
And Odell on the Giants is a touchy subject for me. Don't bring it up.
Sorry, TJ. Apologize. And then another one, Mike Williams against Vegas. And Mike Williams has gone off this year. I don't know if you, not just you guys, but like people in general, unless if you have him on your team. I mean, he's a second, at least in one of my leagues, he's a second ranked receiver. He's averaged at least, I mean, he's scored at least 20 points every game. Last week, he scored 33.2. He's going against Vegas. Vegas is kind of middle of the pack. Same thing. I mean, their corners are young and older and I don't know, some injuries. So, and the way the Chargers looked last week and the way Herbert was thrown last week, I think the Chargers are going to kind of pick up a good pace now. That was a huge win for them. Mike Williams has been going off. And he's got five touchdowns on the year. So he's four. He's got four touchdowns in the year. So he wants to keep that thing rolling and keep going and doing well. So I got two receivers you should start. OBJ, which I do have in one of my leagues, so I think I'm going to start him. Listen to my own advice. I don't do that often, but I think I will do that this time. And then Mike Williams. So that's who I think will do it. And promise, you're the only guy left, right?
I was wrong about Jalen Waddle. I was actually really shocked at how well he did. If you're in a PPR league, he did amazing because he had 12 catches for 58 yards, though. But so if you're not in a PPR league, then he did terrible. That was the only one I was off about. My other picks were pretty accurate, so I'm proud of that. So you should listen to my advice for this week, then, riding that hot hand here. The first person I'm starting, actually sat on my bench last week, and it really killed me because ultimately it cost me my victory. And it's Buffalo Bills running back Zach Moss. And he is won over that starting spot over Devin Singletary. And it's crazy because Buffalo really hadn't had a good run game in a while, ever since LeSean McCoy, but it seemed like Devin Singletary was going to be their guy, and he looked pretty solid for them for years. But Zach Moss started to look sharp last year and grow that into this year. Missed the first week, so the last two games he's had a touchdown in both and is used more in the passing game than Singletary, but he also carries more anyway. So fans who have Singletary are obviously very upset to see this, but Zach Moss has been balling out. And this week he plays Houston. Houston, we've been mentioning, whoever you have on offense, you're going to want to start them automatically against Houston because they're just a terrible team defensively. So I really like Zach Moss starting this week against the Texans. And my other is Mike Gesicki. And this one I was really shocked about. Last week I said with Jacoby Brissett starting, you want to say Jalen Waddle, basically any Dolphins receiver, because I really didn't trust at how Brissett was going to do. But Mike Gesicki put up solid numbers against Vegas, and that killed me because I had Vegas's D also. But I really do like Mike Gesicki this week against Indianapolis. Indianapolis has been giving up a lot of yards to tight ends this year. So Mike Gesicki has proved last year to be a top five tight end and really didn't turn it up until last week. So who knows? Maybe Gesicki only has a good connection with Brissett and he had a good connection with Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. Maybe it's just Tua he struggles with. And who knows? Mike Gesicki might look to continue his hot streak into this week against Indianapolis. So those are my two starts.
I like both of those. Zach Moss has definitely been a surprise for a lot of fans, including myself. I don't have him or Singletary, but I've always thought Singletary was the guy. And Gesicki, also a good pick. I think he's one of the more solid tight ends in the league, and I think Brissett will utilize him more. So I like both of those. Now, before we conclude, we're going to go over who we think should ride the bench this week. Here are my two picks. First, sit Claypool against the Packers. Packers are arguably one of the top teams in the league right now. I think they have an underrated defense all around. The secondary concerns me with how Roethlisberger's been playing. The offense is also so spread out. There's no guarantee that Ben will be throwing a lot, could be hitting Najee Harris a lot. No guarantee. Also, Claypool hasn't had a lot of touchdowns this season. So I say this is a good week to bench him. And the other guy you should bench is Kyle Pitts against Washington. Hasn't had a touchdown this season, I believe. Washington has a tough defensive line. I think they're going to pressure Matt Ryan a lot into dumping the ball off to Mike Davis and Cordell Patterson. Ridley will be getting a lot of touches, but Pitts, I think it's iffy. So if you have a backup tight end, I'd throw him in this week. I know for me, I'm going to start Jared Cook over him. Jared Cook's not a great tight end either. But hey, the way Herbert's been playing, I feel optimistic. So those are my two. Steve, who are your two sits?
My two sits? I'll tell you my two sits. Mike Davis versus Washington. Now, Washington's defense, okay. It's funny because I used to have both these players. Well, I still have Mike Davis in one of my leagues. But I used to have Washington defense in both my leagues. No, just one. Sorry.
That's exactly me. I have Washington in all my leagues and Mike Davis in all my leagues. I just got rid of Washington, but I have Cordell Patterson, so I benched Mike Davis.
Here's the thing, because, well, first of all, yes, Washington D has sucked, but that's been more with passing. I think run game, they still have that solid D-line, and teams haven't really been running all over them. Like, even the Giants, Saquon didn't run all over them, but Danny Dimes kind of threw against them, and Josh Allen threw right over them. So the rush game still – rush defense is still pretty good. And Mike Davis, I don't know. He's just – I drafted him thinking that he had that solid bounce back with Carolina. Really, Carolina utilized him well when McCaffrey was out. Signed with Atlanta thinking that, all right, he's the number one guy. Gurley's gone. And he hasn't really done anything. Granted that offense hasn't really done anything. But I thought he would do much better and have a better role than he has. And now that Cordell Patterson has been going off, I think he's really going to start to take over. So I just say sit Mike Davis because he has not really proven. I played him the first week. I still won, but he didn't meet my standards for what I wanted. So, and I don't think he has reached met any standards so far. So I would say hold off on him. My second one, this was a little difficult because Dalvin Cook was inactive last week. So Alexander Mattison played, did well, had over 100 rushing yards. So this week, they play Cleveland. Whoever their starting running back is, whether it's Dalvin Cook or Alexander Mattison, sit him. Sit him. I'm telling you. Yes, the Bears suck, but that Cleveland defense was in that backfield in like this, 2 seconds. So I think that just – I mean, if you're the Browns defense, you got to be feeling so good after that this past week that they want to do it again. And usually the Vikings have run the ball well. But also, if Dalvin Cook is not 100% right, especially with an ankle, you don't want to really be – you know, he's not going to be 100% healthy, so he's not going to be his full strength, and I don't think he's going to be able to run against that defense. And then Alexander Mattison has been solid for when Dalvin Cook has been out. But I just think the Browns defense is super good. And I think they're tough. And Kirk Cousins is playing – I don't know how I'm even saying this, but Kirk Cousins is playing extremely well. He's not thrown an interception yet. He's – yes, they're 1-2, so maybe it's not equaling wins. But Kirk Cousins look good, so I think they want to kind of give him a little more control of the game. And I probably, TJ, you're probably right. I probably did just jinx Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to feel bad because he's a sicko. I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins guy. Obviously, he plays for the Vikings too. So, you know, if he doesn't do well, he doesn't do well. I mean, I do have Justin Jefferson, but whatever. I just think that they're not going to be able to run the ball as effectively as they usually do against this Cleveland Browns defense. So I started two receivers. I'm sending two running backs. So Mike Davis and whichever Minnesota running back gets the starting job for this week. There you go, Castle.
Solid. Both of them are solid. I also had the same expectations drafting Mike Davis, and it's been disappointing to say the least. So I approve. Mr. Fromwitz, to conclude, let's hear.
Yeah, I'm going to give these picks, but I want you to try to stay calm because you're going to be jumping for joy when I say both of these picks. So the first, The first is Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. And Zeke went off last week against Philly. He had two touchdowns, 90-something yards, so he looked sharp. That was the first game this year he actually looked good. But this week he's playing Carolina. And yes, Carolina really hasn't played good opponents, which is why they're 3-0. But their run defense is very good. No team has been able to get above 50 yards rushing against them. And Zeke hasn't gotten consistent touches. And Dallas has not been afraid to rely on Tony Pollard to carry the load if need be. So I expect the same to continue this week, where Tony Pollard will see a lot of reps as a receiver from the backfield and Zeke won't be getting his proper touches. And Miles Sanders is my other pick. Miles Sanders, the Philadelphia Eagles running back, only had two carries last week and he wasn't effective because they're down early when they're playing the Chiefs this week. So if they're trailing, Jalen Hurts is going to try to air it out and try to get the team back in his own hands. So Miles Sanders is a no-go at all. I played against him this week, so I was happy about that. Gave me a little bit of hope in my league. But yeah, Zeke, Miles Sanders, those are my two sits this week.
Can't complain with two of the running backs in my division to sit. You called it. You know, I'm jumping for joy here with sitting Zeke and Sanders. Although I will admit, I think Zeke's going to have a good season. But this upcoming week will not be his week. So I agree. That being said, we will conclude another episode. Before we say goodbye, we want to give our shout-outs, of course. Shout-out to our partner, Wild Chat Sports. They're always doing great things. Recently, Kevin did an interview with women's goalie Hope Solo. Great interview. A lot of good content there. So go check that out. We also want to thank our head of social media, TJ Hummel. Always doing a great job. Stats, pictures, any information that you guys need via the 3Pete Instagram. That man is behind it, and we're so glad that he's part of the team. Very, very fortunate, and we're looking
forward. He'll be back on the show soon when there's a giant rant needed, so most likely next week.
And hockey season is starting very shortly here. October 8th is usually the home opener, so hockey's my strong suit. I should be on for some of that too.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely going to get him more involved. Been great to have someone to rant with. Hopefully one of these days we could talk a Giants win. It would be nice, a nice change of pace.
You know what? I'm hoping so too. It'll change us up the pace very nicely. It'll give me some much-needed serotonin. And hoping for the best here.
Absolutely. But with that being said, I want to thank you all again for listening. Don't forget to go check us out on Instagram at the 3Pete Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all the different streaming platforms. And we will see you guys next week for another episode. And keep staying tuned. We're working on some very, very interesting guests behind the scenes. And as the season continues to creep up, you won't want to stop listening. So thank you and take care, everyone.